Did you know nearly one-third of supplement consumers in the U.S. are unsatisfied with the current immune-supporting drinks on the market? Help your consumers get the products they want with Immuse, the novel, clinically researched postbiotic that activates our body's natural defenses at the cellular level for year-round immune support. Formulate with the immune health ingredients backed by 30-plus research studies. Learn more at immusehealth.com. That's Immuse, I-M-M-U-S-E, health.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Ray Lateef, and you're listening to the number one podcast for the food and beverage industry, Taste Radio. This episode features an interview with Bridget Connolly, the co-founder and CEO of hard kombucha brand Luna Bay Booch. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you like what you hear on Taste Radio, please share the podcast with friends and colleagues. And of course, we'd love it if you could review us on the Apple Podcasts app or your listening platform of choice. When Bridget Connolly started Luna Bay Booch in 2018, the hard kombucha category was just a blip on the radar and consisted of a handful of brands, most positioned as alternatives to craft beer and focused on distribution in Southern California. For Luna Bay to distinguish itself, Bridget decided to take a different tack. A former social media strategist for Lululemon, Bridget swathed the brand with an ethereal vibe and incorporated design elements that highlighted Luna Bay's premium ingredients, better-for-you attributes, and proprietary blend of yerba mate tea and seasonal fruits and herbs. Bridget, who had no prior experience in the beverage alcohol industry, also set roots in Chicago and emphasized retail placement in the Midwest. While the hard kombucha category is now represented by dozens of brands, Luna Bay's differentiated look and distribution strategy has supported the brand's expansion into retail stores nationwide, including those of Target, Mariano's, Trader Joe's, and Jewel Osco. In the following interview, I spoke with Bridget about her inspiration for Luna Bay, including the origins of its name, why brand story is a key asset when meeting with retail buyers, how the pandemic influenced consumer awareness and interest, why investment in the category is a two-sided story, why she credits mentors as critical to the brand's development. Hey folks, it's Ray with Taste Radio. Right now, I'm very excited to be sitting down with Bridget Connolly, the co-founder and CEO of Luna Bay Booch. Bridget, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks so much for joining me. It's been a while. I wish we could have done this in person, but Zoom still works. I think the last time I saw you was, was it 2.5 years ago at in Santa Monica?
Yeah, in 2019. Yeah, that was just, you know, a drive-by with my surfboard, I think, in the car or something.
That's right. You gave me a ride, actually.
Yes.
And I think we have to get the surfboard out of your passenger seat for me to get in.
Yes.
Are you getting much good surfing in?
Back and forth. Last weekend I went in California, but today I'm in Texas. So it just depends on where I'm going.
Can you surf in Texas?
Not really, but you can paddleboard. You know, so anything okay. is good. I went swimming in the lake on Sunday. So if I can find water, I feel good.
Which lake is that?
I went to Lake Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, when I was in Austin, I saw lots of people paddling down the river. It looked really cool. Yeah. It seems very strenuous, but I could just be completely out of shape. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you have to be committed to the cause, but I am, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're also committed to the cause of hard kombucha and, you know, you started the company in 2018, but we first met in 2019 at the Winter Fancy Food Show in San Francisco. A colleague of ours introduced us and we met in the press room and you brought out these little 50 milliliter bottles of your hard kombucha. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is cool. These are like the secret vials that people always talk about at these trade shows. You pull them out of a backpack and there you have it. And I remember it was a really great tasting beverage, regardless of, you know, what it was. But I think the thing that was most striking to me was the branding and what Luna Bay Booch represented to you. And I think like that is one of the most interesting parts of the story. But let's start from, you know, just getting into the business of hard kombucha, Because in 2019, it was almost a non-existent category, even though there were a couple brands in the space. You know, so what really motivated you to launch a brand in this incredibly nascent segment of hard kombucha?
I mean, that's a memory that will forever be in my mind. I think that was my first trade show and really a moment in time where I was bringing the concept to life of what Luna Bay was all about. And it made it feel more real. And I was so grateful for your time there to be able to try it and believe in it and give me, you know, some feedback on it. And that was just a really exciting moment for me because it started to feel more real. We are still in the ideation phase of everything where every day feels like a challenge and you can't really understand if it's going to happen or not. And I think after that conference, things started to really flow. So we'll never forget that moment. But, you know, for me, I was in 2018, you know, living in San Diego and really in the heart of all these other brands that started to develop at that time and seeing what was happening and seeing how my friends were drinking it and how big the category was coming in that bubble that I was there in, was for me the moment that I realized that this is going to be something. You know, I noticed that people were drinking it. People were looking for different options. People were caring more than ever what they're putting in their bodies. And so for me, I wanted to take that concept and start building it and growing it. With my background in branding, I created the brand and the story of Luna Bay first before I really nailed down the product part. So you tried some of the first samples there that, you know, eventually evolved into what we have now. But then I took that and brought it back to the Midwest where I'm from in Chicago before anyone else did. And no one thought it would be anything in Chicago anytime soon. They told me to come back in 5 years in 2018. But, you know, 1 year later, we launched it and it's still our best-selling market.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really interesting part of the story, right? Is that, you know, you were in San Diego when you were inspired to start the brand, yet, you know, Chicago is your home base now. Although I think, you know, if you're thinking about hard kombucha, it's still very much a coastal kind of beverage category. I could be wrong. So, you know, what made you think that you could actually, you know, grow in scale in the Midwest?
Yeah, you know, so my background is in branding and marketing, and I worked for Lululemon for a number of years, which I'm so thankful for, that really shaped my life. And so much of what we would do and my position was the marketing storyteller, was figure out what new cities would make sense to bring, you know, Lululemon to and to tell this brand story. And my big project was Chicago. And there were so many things happening in Chicago, and Lululemon came up with their first experiential store, which has a bar in it and has a workout facility and meditation room and really kind of changed the experience of shopping. And they picked Chicago out of any market in the US to do their first one. That really kind of shows that Chicago is a place that are people really resonating to with health and wellness. And so for me, I already knew that Chicago kind of gets pigeonholed or stereotyped into deep dish pizza and beer. And I knew that, you know, there's more than that to the city, and it's a very actually health conscious city. So even though every beer distributor didn't believe it, and maybe even some of our investors, I felt in my bones that, you know, this was going to be something big in the Midwest. And so I kind of took that leap of faith, and we actually launched the product at the Lululemon store opening, which was a really cool moment for me to bring both of those like worlds together that were pretty life-changing for me. And it kind of just took off from there.
Yeah, clearly it's working. And I think they have you to thank, or clearly the category has you to thank for really getting it into the heart of the country. You know, it's interesting when I think about Chicago, I also think about cold weather and, you know, beefy meals and things like that. And Luna Bay has this beautiful breath of fresh air. When I think about it, it just feels like the ocean. It feels like, you know, sand and sunsets and things like that. But I wonder, is there a real Luna Bay? I was looking up the name on the internet, and the only thing I could find was there was a fictional place called Luna Bay in like this sequel to that movie, The Lost Boys, you know, the one about the vampires.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know that. I've actually probably never Googled that. I probably should.
Yeah. So yeah. Where did the name come from?
Honestly, this is like my favorite part, is just creating stories, creating, you know, branding. I cannot tell you how many days and nights I spent at coffee shops redoing the cans and thinking of new names for it. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, probably like every night in 2018, and write down a note in my phone and be like, oh, it's, I think it's this one. I think it's that. And it was just a moment that was like, this is the name actually. And for me, it was, yeah, we were thinking of like Luna Tides or Tully Tides or Konakai. Like we made up so many different things. But for me, the Luna is the moon, like feminine energy, which, you know, founded and rooted in women by women, which is our, you know, whole leadership team now. And then Bay, little wave on the bottom. And I was living in, before San Diego, I was living in Australia and spent some time in Byron Bay. And really, you know, that Australia has been a very transformational place for me as well. So that was definitely influential in it. And then the four stars on the can are from the Chicago flag. So very much a mixture of like city and coast. And that's kind of where the vision came to light. But I like what you said. It's very like that light, effervescent. Yeah. And I think people gravitate towards that in the Midwest, even in the cold, you know, they're like, ooh, give me some of the, you know, warmth coastal vibes too.
I never knew that the four stars had a connection to Chicago. What's that all about?
Yeah. So the Chicago flag has four stars on it. And I actually have the tattoo on my arm of the stars of the Chicago, and Chicago's, you know, where I'm born and raised, and it's, you know, such a big part of who I am and the team really now. I mean, most of our team is based in Chicago, and it's, I think it's just really important part of what Luna Bay is all about. So it does have that mixture of like the city and the coastal inspiration to it, but we are born in Chicago, and that's, you know, most of our team is too.
Mike, I heard you're starting a beverage company.
Ray, let's say I was. Do you have any suggestions for a complete partner?
Absolutely. Ingredion. Ingredion is a leading global plant-based ingredient solutions provider to the food and beverage industry with a diverse portfolio, including sweeteners and sugar reduction technologies, plant-based proteins, starches, and hydrocolloids.
Of course. Ingredients 360 Value Framework delivers value according to your brand's specific needs through consumer well-being, environmental impact, and value creation. Ingredients market research and insights for innovation can help uncover opportunities within the beverage space. For instance, figuring out what added health benefits consumers need. They have a network of technical experts that will help you solve your pain points to get you to market faster. With Ingredient, you gain a partner who helps you deliver the total beverage experience that keeps consumers coming back.
To learn more about Ingredient, head to tasteradio.com/beverage.
The New Beverage Showdown returns to BevNet Live in New York City on June 12th and 13th. Pitch your beverage startup in front of a panel of expert judges, our live audience, and viewers tuning into the live stream. To learn more, visit bevnetlive.com.
You know, there's a Miss Luna Bay on Instagram.
Is
and
it
I looked her up. She has like a million followers. I assume there's no affiliation.
No, there's no way.
I was going to say, I was wondering if you could like coax her to giving it to you.
Yeah.
But she has like a million followers. So I think that might be kind of hard.
Maybe she could be a brand ambassador. I should DM her or something.
Yeah. Well, check out her stuff first before you make that move.
Well, let's make sure it's on brand first. But yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No affiliation. Yeah.
So I read an article recently about you and Luna Bay Booch, and the author described your brand as a hippie-ish alcohol brand. And it was strange to me because I don't get a hippie vibe, and no offense. I mean, maybe you do, but I wouldn't describe it that way. And you've described the brand in a number of ways, but when you're talking to people about it, how do you present Luna Bay Booch? You know, how is it positioned in your mind?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point to be more hippie-ish. But I think for us, maybe that comes forward with getting back to the basics. And I think for like Luna Bay, we actually are one of the only hard kombucha brands that actually adheres to the standard of identity of hard kombucha. So the KBI, Kombucha Brewers International, came out with the standard of identity of what is kombucha, what is hard kombucha. And we really try to adhere to that. And Joanna, our head of production and operations, you know, this is her craft. This is her, like her baby as well. And so she really cares so much about following that. She's a scientist, she has her PhD. She like the science behind it is so important to it. Like every can she feels her name is on it. And she wants to make sure what she's putting forward resonates with what her background is in. So for us all along has been honesty and real ingredients. And so we're the only ones to use pure yerba mate tea, non-GMO in our products, with all of our ingredients, and really getting to know the farmers we work with behind each of our products. And so all of those things really kind of tie into why maybe that's more that hippie-ish. So we really care about the quality and the people that make up the products with us. And I think that yerba mate is more of that earthy essence, maybe hippie-ish undertones to it. We have on our team registered dietitian, a holistic health coach, yoga teachers. All of us kind of really live by those same principles, like mind, body, spirit, wellness aspects to it. And I think that really comes forward in the product that we put forth.
And it's on your can. It's part of the copy on your label. It talks about how to enjoy nutrient-dense libations and give back to our body, mind, soul, and earth.
Mm-hmm.
On one panel of the label, however, in pretty large font, it says vegan, non-GMO, and female-founded. Is that the hierarchy of what you want to present to folks, that it is vegan number one, non-GMO number two, and female-founded number three?
It's interesting. We're finally at a place where we can play around with more. Getting those certifications has been very time consuming. So we want to finally be able to showcase that. But I think female founded really is something that we want to push forward the most. And not because, of any gender or anything. I mean, I really believe that, we're all just doing our best. And I, applaud all of my male counterparts in the space too. But I think it is really cool and amazing to see what we have accomplished in an industry that, historically hasn't had a lot of women in it, especially in the beer space. And even Joanna, as our head of production, she's so incredible at what she's been able to accomplish in her career and really forge the way for women in brewing. And so I think for us, like, to really champion that and push that forward is really special and unique for what we've been able to accomplish together, and kind of just kind of break the mold of what has come before and pave the way for future females in the alcohol industry. So I'd say that's first and foremost. And then non-GMO, I think, is something that we don't talk enough about, of why that is important and the ingredients that we put in our products. And then vegan as well. We all, some of us eat meat on the team. It's not like we're only, just all vegan, but it's in the same sense. I think it's something that separates us from some of our competition that uses honey in their product. So I think that is something with, we do work with some vegan restaurants, like, that is something that we like to share.
You talked about how important the female-founded aspect of Luna Bay Butch is, and we talked about this sort of ethereal vibe that the brand gives off, and I think all of that lends itself to appealing to a female consumer.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the last time we spoke, you talked about how Luna Bay has reached a broad range of consumers, and that there's a wide variety of people that drink this product. And a lot of that happened during the pandemic. Can you talk about who your customer base is and why they're drinking your brand?
Yeah, it was so interesting when we first started Luna Bay in our little vials, and we'd go around to all these different accounts and investor meetings and what have you. And they're like, well, when I'm out golfing, I want to drink 12 Coors Lights, but I drink 12 Luna Bays. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you should drink 12 Coors Lights, but I don't know if there's like an any maximum for these things.
Alcohol distributors, my goodness.
Yeah, 12 Coors Lights. I'm like, okay, same. But, as far as with Luna Bay, I think that because we are female founded and we share that on our product, and because the packaging is a little bit more feminine in some aspects, there was like, you're a women's drink. This is just for women. And I think it's really cool because I do think more men are getting in more into their femininity in some ways. And I think it's a really great thing. It's not a women or a male drink. It's for anyone. It's for anyone that cares about this category that really, there's very much tones of sour beer in some of our product. There's tons of like champagne. We use champagne yeast. So it's almost can be this like light effervescent, rosé almost. So there's something I think for everyone. And I think it's just getting it into the hands of the consumers and the trial, which really did work against us in 2020 with COVID, but we never really had a chance for samplings. So now going into this year with more festivals happening, venues happening, our first venue for sports last year was the White Sox Stadium. And if you know where the White Sox Stadium is, the South Side Chicago, you know, and everyone's like, oh, this is not going to do well there. I mean, this is a hot dog and a Bud Light place. This is Booch. Why would anyone want Booch? And it did so well out the gate, and they had reorders their second weekend. They doubled their orders. They just placed their first order for opening day right now. And we're seeing men drink it, women drink it. And it's just getting it into the hands of more consumers to understand it's not just sour or acidic drink that maybe that gets kind of pigeonholed into what is kombucha even, but I guarantee it's like almost, nothing gets me more excited than someone trying it, saying they don't like kombucha. And then they try at least one of our flavors and they're like, I think I like this. And you're like, see, I knew we could get you there. So it's definitely become, because of the opportunities we're getting into with venues and festivals, we're seeing more and more people drink it of all ages and both male and female.
Trial is really important. So is education about the benefits of the drink versus, say, other alcoholic beverages. On the retailer front, have your retailers helped you educate consumers about hard kombucha and the brand itself?
Yeah, I think that's been a huge one for us because, I mean, when we started Luna Bay a few months before, we really got into distribution in the fall of 2019. And then, you know, COVID was in March. And that was the only market we had launched really before that was Illinois. And so all of our other markets really we launched during COVID. And so the trial was, you know, slim to none. And so the way that we've been able to grow has been building relationships. And that's, I think, what we're really good at. None of us came from alcohol. None of us knew what a chain, you know, how to manage chain accounts. And we've really just figured it out on our own, which I really applaud to this, you know, strong team of women. And I think for us, we've been able to make amazing relationships, you know, with the Albertsons and with Kroger and with Whole Foods, and they are continuing to grow the category. And I think that's something we've gotten a lot of pushback on is like, how big can the hard kombucha segment get? Can it get to the White Claws? Can it get to the hard seltzers? And for us, we're seeing it, and we're seeing that HEB is getting behind it, and, you know, Publix is getting behind it, and Whole Foods, you know, Mary and Candace there have been so incredible to us, and they've been expanding the footprint for hard kombucha in their stores, both in the stores themselves and then growing around the country. So that awareness and that shelf placement that we keep gaining has been huge for a trial, and they're running promos and having people try it so they can get kind of understand what the hard kombucha category is all about.
You know, your retail footprint is pretty impressive, and you mentioned a number of big retail chains, and you talked about the importance of relationships, and I think this is the point I want to flesh out a little bit. How do you develop good relationships with retail buyers? How do you get them to believe in the brand as much as you believe in your own brand?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think for us, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, Luna Bay has been my dream, you know, and I've, you know, been creating this and, you know, and I love it. And I think that once people feel that and they feel the authenticity behind it, and now it's, you know, Julie's dream and, you know, it's always been Claire's dream and Joe's dream. And we all care so much about what we're doing. And it's like, it's in our blood, you know, like, and we're a family and we really are. I mean, the women and the men on this team, like, we are family. And I think that when they see what we're building, they first get sold on like the brand, and then they try the product and they love it. And then they meet our team and they see what we're doing and how much passion and how energizing we all are when we get to talk about it. Cause we care so much. I think that really resonates. And I think too, you know, it's not HEB's dream. It's not Publix's dream. It's like, we want to get to know the people behind it. We want to become, you know, we actually genuinely want to become their friends, and we're in this industry together and we want to help each other. So I think too, it's not just like all about Luna Bay. It's like, who are you as a person? Like, can I get to know you? And what excites you? Like, what's your dream? So I think for us is like not losing sight of, we're all humans. We all have struggles. We all have our own things that we want to dream and accomplish, and really not forgetting that in the process of it. And, you know, and it's exciting what we're doing, but at the end of the day, like, it's relationships, it's family, it's health. Like, those are the things that matter more than, you know, the company. And I think that we share that with one another and we feel that for each other. And then we feel it for those relationships we're building. And I think that's why we've been given a shot, and it's been really life-changing for us.
Well, for some retail buyers, their hopes and dreams are to validate the shelf space they give you, right? So they have to be like, look, I'm allocating a certain amount of shelf space for hard kombucha, for Luna Bay Booch, where I could be giving it to some other category or brand. How do you help them validate what you're doing? Obviously, sales, you know, that's the baseline. But
yeah.
I mean, what else is really making them get excited for the category and the future of your brand?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we didn't know alcohol sales, none of us. We never knew anything about alcohol and we didn't know sales really, actually, but we knew how to market. We are marketers, we're branders, we like to create and come up with really innovative ideas, and that's what we're good at. And so, and I think when they see what we can create, you know, for example, Mariano's Kroger in Illinois, you know, we had no business getting into Kroger when we got into, they told us no, actually. And then we don't take no for an answer easily. So we went, found another route, and then we kind of bombarded them as they were doing their sets and showed up and talked to them in person. And they're like, wow, these girls are never going to leave us alone. So maybe we should give them a shot. And so they ended up bringing us on last year. And then we came back and we're like, what if we did Booch refrigerators and we branded it and we made it so easy and simple for them? And we said, this is how you order them. This is what it looks like. This is why we think the velocities will increase. And then they brought, you know, 30 plus refrigerators into all these stores in Mariano's, and they have huge dedicated sections now all over Illinois. And that was just an idea we came up with. And we're working with Whole Foods on another thing. And we just come up with these ideas and then we execute on them. And then we can use them as case studies. You know, we come up, well, sky's the limit. What's the worst they can say is no. And, you know, we can come up with something really fun and creative. And then if they are like, okay, well, we'll invest, you know, a couple thousand in this to generate, you know, 10X of that. So let's try it. So I think we have that, like, Joe is so good at strategy. And, you know, even though her background's production, she is definitely strategy. I'll come up with the creative aspect and then Julie can execute on it. And I think we're a good triple threat balance. And then we kind of show what we can bring forward for them. And I think too, is because we're pretty relentless in getting the deal done, that I think they're open to giving us a shot, or they know that we won't stop.
I've heard the story of persistence a number of times from entrepreneurs. And I think there's a fine line between persistence and annoying the buyer. It is actually, it's funny because interviewed one of the founders of a brand called Skinny Dipped, which make coated almonds and other kinds of nuts.
Tons of them. I eat them every day.
It's such a great brand, such a great product. And she talked about how their first retailer was basically said yes, because she and her other founders would just kind of bum rush the store and wouldn't leave until they got a yes. You know, with Kroger, I think that's probably not exactly what you guys did. But, like, you know, how do you convince a buyer, being persistent without being pushy or annoying?
Yeah, I think for us, like, you know, we have, you know, it's a fine line for sure. And I've definitely crossed the line before. Don't get me wrong. I have been like, please stop emailing me. But we have, I think that there's a thoughtfulness behind it that can go into it too. I mean, anyone can get an email, but if you can write a handwritten note, send a package, like follow up, like, you know, really get to know them, like I said before. And another way which we've kind of gone about things is, going back to like the storytelling aspect of it, you know, everyone thinks like their dream is the best, or their, you know, kids or whatever it is. And I think, you know, I can say till I'm blue in the face, like our team is so amazing and, you know, our story is so unique and there's a million other founders, same thing. But what I think for us, I really wanted to find a way to tell that story and to tell it impactfully and not take up too much of their time. Everyone's very busy. Everyone has lives. Why Luna Bay? So I started documenting a lot more of, you know, our team and as we're traveling and behind the scenes. I mean, we're the ones, you know, Joe and I are out there UPCing, stickering, doing things, like we're all, you know, schlepping around, you know, no one's above anything. And I think as we've started to develop this team and we've been creating more content around it. So we did a little documentary last year, winter, about our team. It's a very short, you know, it's just a few minutes, but it's kind of a reason who we are, what our personalities are like, what's the brand like, and why should you give us a shot? And so we've been sending that reel out to a lot of buyers. And so it's a quick way to like feel it, get to know it, be like intrigued by it, and then potentially give us a shot. So that I've seen also be helpful in telling our story.
That's really interesting. How long is the reel?
It's about 4 minutes. We have different versions of it, but we had a filmmaker actually come in and document us for a little while and do interviews. And I think that's what I love to do is create and tell stories. And I was like, how can we do this in a more impactful way than try to hound someone for, you know, that's why Trader Joe's gave us a shot. You know, they got to see the product and they got to see the story and they're like, this is really interesting and different. Like maybe we should give them a shot. And so our best account in California.
There you go. I love it.
Thank you.
Mike, I was just in the kitchen and I saw this really cool THC-infused beverage brand called Eighth Wonder.
Ah, chill brand. They make cannabis bevs as well as beer and spirits. The product you're talking about is a super tasty cherry limeade cannabis seltzer called Lil Bit. And did you know Eighth Wonder was acquired last year by Houston's BioCity Hemp?
Yes, I did. That deal created a world-class, vertically integrated cannabis and craft beverage company. Bayou's science-based processes for extracting THC from hemp have made the company the gold standard for cannabis products across Texas and beyond.
Bayou's cannabis portfolio includes Eighth Wonder as well as Howdy and Beach Break, all of which are distributed throughout Texas and Louisiana.
You can learn more about all these brands at eighthwonder.com, siphowdy.com, and sipbeachbreak.com.
On June 12th and 13th in New York City, hear from Icelandic Glacial, Lemon Perfect, GoPuff, Sachet, Diageo Ventures, and Lowe's Foods during the leading event for the beverage industry. Save on BevNet Live tickets through April 26th. Just visit bevnetlive.com.
The category of hard kombucha as a whole has been growing, and there has been some significant financial investment in the space. I think you mentioned a couple of the brands, that a couple of brands have really picked up quite a bit of funding. Those include Flying Embers, June Shine. You know, what's driving investor belief in this space?
I mean, I think it's, we're seeing, I think, market research in it and what the consumers are looking for. And I think several of the top is, you know, being able to resonate with the story behind the brand. Like, who are the people? Is it not just the big names, the big houses? Like, there's more humanness, going back to that human connection, which I think people are really resonating towards with the June Shines, with us, you know, with others. And then, you know, 1% for the planet, just environmental issues that, you know, continue to happen. I think that really being behind a brand that supports and donates to causes that are important to the consumer is something and is important to us as a company is really resonating. And then just better for you ingredients. I think it's more and more people are coming out of maybe the seltzers actually aren't that good for you. Or maybe there are things being added to products that we are okay to put out there that actually isn't organic or isn't, you know, why is this approved? And I think for us, you know, that better for you healthy category in some way with alcohol is something that people are really looking for. And I think chains now that are getting on board with it, you know, as Whole Foods expands their footprint with it, as, like I said, Kroger and Albertsons and more markets that haven't even had it yet. And, you know, we have an amazing relationship with GoPuff as well and Foxtrot, and we're seeing that they're expanding in the category. And I think if we look to the leaders in the space, I mean, the alcohol industry is changing, you know, like it can't continue on the way it's been before. People want more access. People want more transparency. And I think companies like GoPuff or Foxtrot that are able to get into the hands of the consumer quicker we're only going to continue to see that more streamlined, efficient process of alcohol consumption and delivery. And those are big companies that are getting behind the hard kombucha category and really championing for us. So I think that's why we're seeing more investors and more belief in the category as those big corporations are also taking chances with it too.
A few episodes back, I spoke with the founders of Beckon Ice Cream, which was launched by two female founders. And as part of our conversation, they had brought up the fact that only 2% of female-led brands get to $1 million in revenue. And that statistic hasn't changed in 25 years. And it's an insane stat. And it's an embarrassing stat. And it really speaks to the fact that female founders are just not getting the kind of support or investment as their male counterparts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not sure even what to say at this point, because it's like, how are we not making any progress on that front?
And it's even worse because you told me a story about the fact that you got traction, you got more people interested in the brand when you brought on two male advisors to mm-hmm. Luna Bay, which I don't even know what to say at this point. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm trying not to chuckle about it, but I'm not even sure, like, I'm speechless. So I guess, how do you deal with that fact on a regular basis? How do you continue to move on and push on when it seems like you're at such a disadvantage as a female founder?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that there's times where I have felt so defeated and so frustrated in the process of fundraising, in the process of, you know, because I think about it, Ray, like, you know, I'm running a company, we're launching new markets, I have 10 direct reports, I, you know, all these things, and then you're raising money. And it's like, how can you actually do your job when you're being pinged and you're asked for questions and then you're going in circles having the same conversations and you know that, you know, your other male counterparts might be doing this so much faster, and then they get back to running their business and growing their business, where it's really hard to grow your business if you can't get the access to funding you need and you're constantly, you're trying to do both. And it's burnout, and it's your mental state, it's hormones as a woman, it's all these things that, like, you can't operate at 100% every single day and without feeling like you're gonna, you know. And I don't think people talk about it enough. I mean, there's burnout, of course, for men and women, but it's really, really difficult to, you know, and like have a family and have kids and do all these things and run a company and try to get fundraising. And so I hope that, you know, there are changes happening. I have been talking to a lot of funds as of late that are really supportive of minority brands, female brands. There is change coming, and with retailers as well. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is like having a support system and having people that, you know, you find that one person that believes in you, and it changes everything. And I would not be here today without Julie and Joe and Claire and some of our advisors. And that, you know, you feel, you have these moments of like, why are we even doing this? Like, we're never going to get what we need to keep going, you know? And then you get a shot with Whole Foods, or you get a shot with an investor, and it's worth it to me, because if all this hard work is for more women to understand and to have, you know, resources, or if one day I'm able to help with funding for people and, you know, for women, like, that to me is worth it. And it's so empowering once you get a distributor to listen to you, once you get an investor to listen to you, once you get that opportunity, it's like, it's bigger than us. Like, it's bigger. We're doing something that's like very meaningful. And to me, that's what keeps me going, because I could get frustrated and beaten down any day over something. And it's, I think, you know, the people that we surround ourselves with and what we, it's all about outlook, you know? And I think we all have a very intrinsically joyful spirit. And that's something that is really contagious. And it's that joyful and hopeful spirit that keeps us going. But not to say that I don't have days that are really tough and really, you know, defeating. But it is embarrassing. And I'm grateful that you've been able to talk to so many female founders and kind of understand what we've all faced to make more noise about it. So there is change happening, and, you know, that will help other future women in this space.
You know, bringing it up as a founder and talking about it on a podcast is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important for the investors to talk about it, right? It's also important for the retailers and the distributors to talk about it. Do you bring it up in conversations with these industry gatekeepers that are, you know, the lifeblood really of our industry?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, there's for every 9 out of 10 are incredible, you know, people that want to really champion for women, that are excited by the category, they're excited about the changes, that have daughters themselves, that, like, you know, see that in us. And, you know, and I'm so thankful for that. But you do have the 10th that is condescending, or, you know, using money as power, or, you know. And I feel so thankful that, you know, when I grew up in Chicago, you know, I have a very, you know, blessed life, but I do, you know, I have a thick Midwest skin, I think. And I had 3 brothers that really kept me humble and always keep me humble to this day. So I feel thankful that, like, I have the ability to see through that. And I don't buy into it. And I don't, money is money. I don't want someone's money that is going to try to use that in any way over me or can talk down to me or anyone on my team. Like that's a shut door goodbye. So I think for me, I feel grateful that I can go into those feeling really empowered where maybe a few years ago, I would have been a little bit more shy. And I'm so protective over my team and what we're doing. And if there is anyone that I feel might threaten that or talk in a certain way that I don't align with, that's a goodbye for me. So I think that if we can empower more women to feel that too, like you don't have to get into any, you don't have to take anybody's money that does not feel like it's not something that makes you feel empowered and excited about what you're building, because you will get what you need if you have enough, you know, resources and hard work and dedication, but don't take someone's money that doesn't feel aligned with you. So I think that's something that I've learned along the way and hopefully can help other women with.
I think you will. And I think there are people that will listen to this podcast and reach out to you and be like, hey, Bridget, I would love for you to, you know, work with me and help mentor me as an early stage founder, men and women, I think, because yeah, this has been such great information and such great insights into how to build a business. You know, that being said, I think mentors are such a critical part of building any business. When it comes to finding mentors, how do you approach people that you think can help Luna Bay Booch? And what specifically do you ask of them?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, for me, I have, you know, I think like writing out your priorities, like what are the things that you need the most support in? If you're really good at branding, don't worry about marketing. Like worry about if you need help with fundraising, if you are trying to figure out distributors, if you're trying to, you know, figure out how to build a business plan, like, you know, really looking at who are your networks, because 9 out of 10 times too, I have asked for help. Someone is willing to help. Someone has been there. Someone has been in your shoes. And if they don't know, they know somebody else that might be able to. And it's like putting your ego aside and just putting yourself out there time and again of, you know, do you know anyone? I'm struggling in this sense. Like, you know, vulnerability is so bonding and is so, you know, people can relate. Like we all have something that we're going through. So if you're just don't feel like you have to carry the weight on your own and that you have to have the answers. Nobody has the answers. Everybody is trying to figure it out in any position that they're in. So I think for you just being able to be transparent with what your current struggles are and if they know anyone to help you with that. Even if it's truly like, I feel like I'm having a mental breakdown each week. Does anyone have a good therapist? Like there are people out there that will be able to help and connect you to the right people. And so, you know, for me, I have an amazing advisor that came from RxBar. And for me, that was important because they were with a startup and then they went through an acquisition. And what were those changes like? And even internally, our team that has started, we've been a core team for 3 years and we're entering a new wave of bringing on new talent and bringing new people. And what does that look like? Because there is this uncomfortability at first. Like we want all the help we can get. And then you get the help and it's like, hey, wait, we've been doing it this way. Who are you people? And it's like, how do you transition to this next wave? And how do you all feel aligned? And are we going in the right direction? My own mentor has a mentor that actually just started coaching our whole leadership team because he thought that would be a great person for us. And we like adore him. So there's so much help out there. I mean, I have an advisor from Heineken that has been really helpful with distributor contracts and making sure we're asking for the right margins. And we meet monthly. I have someone at Constellation, we meet quarterly, and that's to talk about innovation and product. And all of this just came from, can I have 5 minutes of your time to talk about X I've seen in your history? You've done this. I'm really intrigued by it. And sometimes it goes somewhere and sometimes it doesn't. And it's cool because life is cool. I mean, meeting you, Ray, 3 years ago, like who would have thought we'd be here, you know, chit-chatting about food. And I'm so thankful. So I think that everything is connected and it's worth putting yourself out there to see where it leads to anytime.
Absolutely. And I am really grateful that we met 3 years ago. And I'm grateful that our colleague introduced us. And, you know, I think those introductions from someone you know are always really helpful because it's like, I trust this person to make an introduction. And I trust this person to make an introduction to someone who they think can help me. But, you know, has just cold emailing or LinkedIning been just as effective for you?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, oh God, I can't even, sorry to everybody I've ever LinkedIn'd. I still do it. So yeah, I think LinkedIn is really effective. But not just, I mean, like, can I have 5 minutes of your time? Like really knowing who the person is, what have they done in their career, and why do you want to talk to them? And then sharing what you're hoping to get out of it. Because like I said, everybody's busy, everybody's overscheduled, everybody's overworked. So if you can be really direct and transparent about why you're interested in communicating with them and how much time do you need, I wouldn't recommend an hour for anyone because I think everyone's like, that's too much time. So just say 20 minutes. Can I just brief you on something and build that? And then if they feel, maybe this could be a bigger conversation. I would start there and then ask like your current resources, friends, family, people in the industry, your parents, you know, whoever it might be, there's always someone, you know, that can probably connect you to somebody else to have a conversation.
Bridget, I've enjoyed every minute of our conversation, and I thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I know how busy you are, and this is such an exciting brand, an exciting time for Hard Kombucha and for Luna Bay. And I know it's a roller coaster, but I hope that people listening get a lot out of this. I think they will, and they'll realize that for as much hard work as you put into this, it's the passion, it's the excitement, it's what you bring to the table every day in terms of just being happy and being happy to do what you do. And it came through so clearly in our conversation. Thank you so much again. And I really hope that we can meet up soon in person. It's been way too long.
We will, Ray. I thank you. It really means so much to me. I'm so grateful to be here talking to you. It's very surreal for me, like very full circle. We are actually launching Luna Bay on tours. So we'll be taking a van across the country. I leave in 2 weeks and I will be in Boston and I'll be up the East Coast. So if at the very least, come take a cruise in the van. It's much more spacious. We can fit the surfboards in the back. So don't worry.
Sounds good. I don't have anything else to bring. I'll just bring my sports coat. So
perfect. Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be done.
Okay. Bridget, once again, thanks so much for taking the time, and I'll see you in the van.
Okay. Sounds good, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of this episode of Taste Radio. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to our guest, Bridget Connolly. As always, for questions, comments, ideas for future podcasts, please send us an email to ask@tasteradio.com. On behalf of the entire Taste Radio team, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.